you to tame me.
Reprobate. So it warms my heart to see you say that. So anyway, I'm not really sure what it is, so I'm trying to kill it with a beer.
In the valley of tears, the valley of tears, soft words have been spoken.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. Sorry about the delay. Hope, the Hackers of Planet Earth conference had tickets go on sale at 1900 UTC when the show was supposed to start. So I went to my computer thinking I would book a ticket, start the show, we'd be good to go. But sadly, the computer was locked up, so I had to force quit it, restart, boot up, frantically go get a ticket, because sometimes they sell out super fast, and then, boom, I was able to pull this song up, put that on, jump over there, get the ticket ordered. So now, thank you for your purchase. Your order summary includes one ticket. Now I can get ready for the show. I wanted to apologize for the delay. Aw, crapola. One second. I appear to have forgot to save. Sorry. I'll be right back. Why? I feel bad. I've screwed up twice. Darn it. It's very frustrating. Anyway, sorry. I'll be right back with some news. Oh, you know what? I have a short story that I recorded earlier. Let's see. That one? Let's see. Is this the one I played before? I played on that day. No. That's a recording. I'm sorry. Here, I will just play a song. I'll be right back. Thank you. What a mess. Wait a minute, something's wrong. What a mess. I'm just... Anyway. We're getting there. I have trouble doing two things at once. Who knew? It, but Ufta. Today is Ufta. This is Jimi Hendrix, Red House, and before that was some random song I don't know. Alright. Now I've got everything set up. A whole almost 10 minutes late. I apologize. I regret my decisions. But if you are listening and you haven't heard the show before, I'm extra sorry to you. But if you would like to have fun during this show and the Dubious Goals Committee and any shows that you listen to on and on radio, just jump on over into Comm. That's Commode Chat on the SDF cluster. All you need to do is SSH over as your username at sdf.org. You can also sign up by SSHing over as new at sdf.org. That's N-E-W. And you'll go through a sign-up process. It's really quick and easy, and you know what? You can get through it faster than a lot of things. Faster than a tear can fall from your eye to the ground. All right, so boom. Peak. Nope. G. Go to an on-radio. Now we're here. All right. Now we're good to go. I feel like I'm losing it. Am I taking crazy pills? It's possible.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. All right. So we're here. It's January 27th, 2022, and it's 1910 UTC. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead. We've got 20 minutes, but no song break. Why?
Get the new.
That guy is wrapped up and hidden in the basement. He's also got out and played some music before I got on the air. Okay, let's see, what's been in comm? Ooh, talking about a legal case. Yeah, anyway, yeah, Texas is a backwards place. Let's go ahead and get started. There's some interesting stuff going on. Oh my gosh, nope. Oh no, I have like 4 crowns. I would not like that to happen, please. That was a painful experience. All right. We're focusing. We're starting the way we almost always start.
World news.
Okay. Let's do it. It's death time. At least 36 people are dead in Madagascar and Mozambique. Tropical storm Anna has killed 34 people in Madagascar and 2 in Mozambique and left most of Malawi without power in recent days, according to reports released Tuesday by authorities in the 3 countries. The storm, which formed in the east of the large island of Madagascar, triggered heavy rains that caused flooding and landslides in the capital of Antananarivo. According to a report by the Disaster Management Agency on Tuesday, 34 people died, and nearly 65,000 others have been left homeless since the end of last week. And that, of course, is to add on to their terrible famine they're having over there. So, I mean, if you were praying for water and then your house gets washed away, pretty shit. Yeah. It comes to us from AfricaNews.com. All right. After crossing the Indian Ocean and as heavy rains hit northern and central Mozambique, 2 people were killed and 49 injured in Zambezia province, according to the Mozambican National Risk Management Institute. The storm has the potential to affect highly vulnerable populations who have already recently suffered from natural disasters and conflicts in northern Mozambique. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or OCHA, O-C-H-A, warned. The Mozambican government and UN agencies estimate that 500,000 people will be affected by Ana in the provinces of Nampula, Zambezia, and Sofala. In neighboring Malawi, the storm plunged most of the country into darkness on Monday. Flash floods forced power companies to shut down their generators. The water level is too high to continue operating. It's too risky, explained Moses Kwaza, the spokesman for the Electricity Generation Company, which is amazing. I feel like that's like such a generic name, but it's so specific. All right. So Madagascar and the part of Africa right close there, Mozambique and Malawi, not having a good Thursday. In the Ukraine, this is a wild story that's not related, at least not on the surface, isn't related to the ongoing Russian conflict and NATO conflict or argument going on. A National Guard conscript in Ukraine has shot dead 5 people and injured another 5 in the eastern city of Dnipro, the Interior Ministry says. The man opened fire as guards were being issued weapons at the Pivdenmash aerospace plant early on Thursday. The soldier, named as Artemy Rybachuk, 21, fled with the Kalashnikov assault rifle. He was later arrested by police. He was then seen calmly describing how he shot people one by one. His motives were not immediately clear. One Ukrainian lawmaker said the suspect may have been bullied. Some reports say he surrendered to police voluntarily. National Guard Chief Mykola Balan submitted his resignation request shortly afterwards, saying a commander was ultimately responsible for any incidents, both good and bad. In a statement, President Volodymyr Zelensky ordered an investigation into the terrible shooting. I expect law enforcement officers to keep the public fully informed about all the circumstances of this crime, he said, including the gunman's motives and how the incident was allowed to happen. And this is very foreign to me because the United States military and all the police forces, anybody who has any authority in the United States is pretty much only answerable to itself. So the idea that the local city police are going to go investigate the National Guard is a trip. Interior Minister Denis Monastirsky has already set up a special investigative commission. There we go. 4 National Guard members, all men, were killed during the shooting that happened at 3:40 local time on Thursday, which is 1:40 GMT. The 5th victim was a woman working for a security company. Video has now emerged where the suspect is heard saying that he shot the woman in the head because she'd refused to open a door so he could leave. There are fears that the death toll would increase further as one of the injured, another woman, has a serious abdominal wound. More than 40 National Guard members and police officers have volunteered to donate blood to help the injured. Pivdenmash, known as Yuzmash during its Soviet period, is a state-owned plant that produces and tests material related to aeronautics and defense. So, we shall see. Like I like to say, we shall see. I don't think we'll see a follow-up here. It sounds like Homeboy's going away for a long time. It's very weird that it doesn't seem like there's any real motive. Well, what else is going on? Well, Catalonia has pardoned women executed for witchcraft. That's right. The Catalan region regional parliament has formally pardoned hundreds of women executed for witchcraft between the 15th and 18th centuries. MPs passed a resolution by a large majority to rehabilitate the memory of more than 700 women who were tortured and put to death. Spanish historians have discovered that Catalonia was one of the first regions in Europe to carry out witch hunts. It was also considered one of the worst areas for executions. We have recently discovered the names of more than 700 women who were persecuted, tortured, and executed, said the groups behind the resolution. Witches were often blamed for the sudden death of children or for poor harvests, according to Paul Castell. Oh, that's funny. Castell is the name of a tiny little town that I like to go visit because they have a good beer and barbecue. A professor of modern history at the University of Barcelona. Pro-independence and left-wing groups say the women were victims of misogynistic persecution and want their memory honored by naming streets after them. Tens of thousands, mostly women, are believed to have been condemned to death for witchcraft across Europe. And Publius and X1 in com, piping in or chiming in that retroactive pardons aren't the best idea, or they're kind of silly. Publius, retroactive pardons, very comforting. X1, pardoning the people you torture and put to death? Yes, they need your pardon. Oh, and cool, Publius is near a town called Castel Castel. That's a trip. Yeah, the Castel community is one of those... anyway, there's a whole story about it. I've already wasted too much time getting started for the show. So let's get back to it. To what? Well, I don't know. Maybe...
World news.
That's right, the world news. There's so much. Solar-powered fridges help transport COVID-19 vaccines in Kenya. Solar power coming to the rescue. A delivery has arrived at Mureshi Health Center in Kajiado, Kenya. It's a shipment of vital vaccines. But getting the vials to remote places like this can be tricky. How can they be kept at the correct temperature on the journey when there is no access to electricity? That's where the VaxiBox comes in. It's a solar-powered fridge designed for transporting vaccines to off-the-grid areas. Rachel Munyao has worked as a nurse at Mureshi Health Center for 3 years. In the past, she had to use other methods, like a cooler box filled with ice, to take vaccines to remote villages. But once the ice melted, the temperature inside would rise and spoil the contents. Now she uses a VaxiBox. It is with this VaxiBox that we have been using to transport vaccines from one facility to another, like when we go to collect them from the main collection center and bring them to the health center. The vaccines that are stored there are the vaccines we use for under-5s, the polio vaccine, the pneumonia vaccine, the measles vaccine, the BCG, which is Bacillus Calmette-Guerin, used to vaccinate against tuberculosis, the DPV, which is diphtheria, whooping cough, and tetanus, and many others. Even the tetanus toxoid vaccine is in the same VaxiBox where we store the COVID-19 vaccine, which is used to vaccinate people who come to the facilities. So, wow. Very cool. Hey, welcome, Tobe. I don't know German, but thanks for being here. The fridge also has a USB port for charging devices like mobile phones. It's big enough to hold at least 3,000 vaccination doses, which can be life-saving for a clinic in a small village. It takes up to 2 hours to fully charge and can retain power for a maximum of 9 hours. Very important to monitor the temperature at which vaccines are stored at any one point without missing an opportunity, because if it's not monitored, it means the temperature could spike, rendering the vaccines non-viable, and then it is not noticed. There's a possibility that a child can get a vaccine that has no potency, or they get a placebo. So, this is really cool. I thought it was a neat happy story out of Kenya that they've got this device. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on. Let's talk about how dumb the United States is being. Edison.me, that's funny. Sorry, your vaccine will have to wait. I gotta charge my phone. Hello, Tin. Welcome. Welcome, X1 and Tobe and Publius and everyone in Decom. Thank you for being here and hanging out. So, yeah, we're going to talk about how dumb the United States is because we're going to run out of time. And, geez Louise, sometimes it just bugs me. So, I wanted to share. First up, a U.S. Navy commander has pleaded guilty to receiving $250,000 in cash and prostitution services from a foreign defense contractor in exchange for state secrets. Information Commander Stephen Shedd provided to the firm helped it defraud. Information Commander Stephen Shedd provided to the firm helped it defraud the Navy of $35 billion. The plea is the latest in the Fat Leonard case, considered one of the worst corruption scandals faced by the Navy. Dozens of officials have been ensnared. Shedd is one of 9 members of the Okinawa-based 7th U.S. Fleet. Don't even get me started on Okinawa and the U.S. base there. Indicated by a federal grand jury, indicted by a federal grand jury in March 2017 for their role in the scandal, and the third officer to plead guilty. According to the Justice Department, Shedd and the other officers received sex parties with prostitutes and luxurious dinner and travel. If you're going to get bribed, that's one way to do it. In exchange for military secrets and substantial influence for the Glen Defense Marine Asia, or GDMA, company, a Singapore-based firm founded by a Malaysian national, Leonard Glen Francis. I guess that's where the Fat Leonard in the Leonard came from. The scandal became widely known as the Fat Leonard scheme due to Francis's... it's right there. Due to Francis's then-corpulent figure. He was arrested in California after being lured there by U.S. officials in 2013. He has since pled guilty to bribery and conspiracy charges and has remained in prison or home detention. According to prosecutors, information Shedd and the others provided helped GDMA to win and maintain contracts, and overbill the Navy by $35 billion for services such as tugboats, security, and waste removal to ships at ports. Let's see. Publius letting us know, BCG is not administered in the USA because it's only effective in small children, and the rate of TB infection in small children in the US is so is near zero. All right. So, yeah. So, the Navy, surprise, surprise, the military is corrupt and has lots of corruption in it. That, my friends, is just how it goes. There's a lot of corruption in all over the United States. There's a lot of money. This is fucked up, in a United States kind of way. New York families have been caught in a web of child protective services that disproportionately affect poor families of color. With the headline, parents who kept kids at home for fear of COVID are reported for neglect. Paulette Healy can tick off the way her family's life has been disrupted over the last 3 months. Her younger child's nightmares, the hours she has poured into collecting evidence to prove she's a fit parent, and an arduous legal process that still looms to clear her name. From early November through January 1st, the Brooklyn family was under investigation by the Administration for Children's Services, or ACS, the New York City agency tasked with looking into suspected cases of child abuse and neglect. Healy had been reported for educational neglect for not sending her to school to children amid COVID fears, though she says her kids kept up with their work remotely. Last fall, the city government issued guidance discouraging educators from reporting parents who kept kids at home out of fear when schools reopen. But that hasn't been enough to stop families motivated by COVID concerns from getting caught up in the web of child protective services, a blunt instrument that disproportionately targets low-income families of color who've already suffered the most harm during the pandemic. So, there is more to that if you want to read it at The Guardian, but essentially, parents who didn't want to send their kids to school because there weren't very many COVID guidelines and they were doing remote school, they had CPS or they had the Child Protective Services sent after them. That's another way to screw with anybody who has kids, though, is you just report them to CPS and it ruins their life for weeks or months. It's a terrible, terrible system. But hey, at least they sometimes catch people. The Texas adoption system has totally just sold children and let them be killed and brutalized. So, I don't know. There's no effective bureaucracy in the United States. All right. Tennessee. Here's this story, because we're going to run out of time. I'm just riling myself up with dumb U.S. stories. Tennessee school board bans teaching of Holocaust graphic novel Mouse. I think it's Mouse. M-A-U-S. Oh, yeah, it's Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's not Happy Holocaust Remembrance Day, but it is a day to think about that, and all genocides, really. A school board in Tennessee has banned a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel about the Holocaust from being taught in its classrooms. Board members voted in favor of banning the novel because it contained swear words and a naked illustration. The graphic novel, Mouse, A Survivor's Tale, depicts how the author's parents survived Auschwitz during the Holocaust. Author Art Spiegelman said he was baffled by the decision. 6 million people died. 6 million Jewish people died in the Holocaust, Nazi Germany's campaign to eradicate Europe's Jewish population. Mr. Spiegelman's parents were Polish Jews who were sent to Nazi concentration camps. His novel, Mouse, which features hand-drawn illustrations of mice as Jews and cats as Nazis, won a number of literary awards in 1992. So, I think this kind of falls in the same thing as, like, CRT. I think critical race theory, you might say, you know what, if you learn about anything where the U.S. isn't a super good guy and it's not all sunshine, we don't want to hear that. So yeah, X1 came out. Do not call those dudes unless the kid is really in a dangerous situation. Oh yeah, yeah. Do not call CPS. And Tin's letting us know, oh yeah, it could be used to indoctrinate children, in quotes. So yeah, it's intensely frustrating to see this kind of stuff going on. I'm trying to stay calm and not get too wound up. Here's a few other things. You know what? Here, we're going to end on sports news as we go into the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which happens every single day at 19:30 UTC, which is in less than 120 seconds away. So, bam, 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 bam.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Giant Killers Equatorial Guinea edge Mali on penalties to reach quarterfinals. That's right. Equatorial Guinea continued their giant killing run as they reached the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations with a 6-5 penalty shootout victory over Mali after a goalless draw in Limby on Wednesday. Equatorial Guinea are the final side to advance to the last eight, where they will meet Senegal on Sunday, and hand their 20-year-old goalkeeper, Jesus Owono, to thank for their progress as he made two saves in the shootout, which was concluded after 16 kicks. Oh, wow. Mali had been the overwhelming favorites, but turned in an underwhelming performance despite dominating possession and creating most of the chances. Might be that coup going on in their home country. You never know. Egypt, starring Mo Salah, beat Ivory Coast on penalties to reach quarterfinals. Oh my gosh, 100% correct, Publius. You'll only need the edge. Mohamed Salah scored the decisive penalty as Egypt beat the Ivory Coast in a shootout on Wednesday to advance to the Africa Cup of Nations quarterfinals, while organizers of the Trouble Tournament moved two matches away from Doula to Cameroon's capital, Yaounde. Can't say that right. Sorry. The Liverpool star smashed home his spot kick with the Ivory Coast's Eric Bailey, the only player...